One of the better principles, or it may say laws, known in the Bible is the principle or the law of sowing and reaping. The Bible says that as we go through life, we sow, we plant, we engage in various activities. Because of the things that we do, or in some cases, because of the things that we fail to do, we create a situation where we later reap. We later receive some consequences. Now, I'm not going to read from Exodus 9, but I do want to begin by appealing to this chapter. In the 9th chapter of Exodus, we find an example of how Pharaoh was reminded that he was going to reap some consequences. He'd sown some things. Pharaoh had sown some bad seeds. He was mistreating God's people. In fact, Pharaoh was not only mistreating God's people, he was, in many respects, responsible for the slavery of Israel. And even though God had said to this ruler through people like Moses and Aaron, "You need to let Israel go," Pharaoh continued to sow the seeds of a hard heart. He refused to let God's people go. God therefore came along in Exodus 9, verses 1 through 7. And you don't find here the word sowing and reaping, but you do find the principle. God essentially said to this ruler, because you have sown some bad things, God said to him, you're going to reap. The time for a harvest has come. And Pharaoh, I want you to know in advance what you're going to harvest. God said the Egyptians had some livestock. They had a lot of livestock. God said to this ruler, because of the things that you have sown, you're going to reap death. Among the Egyptians, God said your horses are going to die. Your donkeys are going to die. Your camels are going to die. Your sheep and your cattle and your goats, they're going to be killed. But God said, as you are reaping these things, God said his people were not. Pharaoh did not want to hear anything related to sowing and reaping, and eventually night came. And that night was a bad night. It was a night where Pharaoh and the Egyptians reaped. They lost those animals. In way after way, the God of the Bible tries to keep the principle of sowing and reaping before his people. If we look at the year that has just passed, 2013, we sowed some things. In fact, the whole world sowed some things. Each one of us planted various things. Some of what we sowed may have been very good, very, very good. And there may have been some situations where we sowed some things that were very, very bad. Since we've just started a new year, and again, the intent was for this information to be delivered last Sunday night. Since we've just started a new year, it is a good time, I think, to go back and think about the principle of the law of sowing and reaping. As I think about sowing and reaping, there is a passage in the Old Testament that comes to my mind. And there is a primary passage in the New Testament that comes to my mind. The Old Testament passage, which I'm going to read, comes from the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 126, verse 5. The New Testament passage and the New Testament verse may have already sprung to your mind, is going to come from the 6th chapter of Galatians. In Psalm 126, verse 5, we have here the idea of sowing. And the Bible talks about sowing in a very unusual way. Now, sometimes when we think about sowing, we think of an activity which may not require a lot of effort. In some cases, that's true. But there are other cases, in fact, it might be safe to say, it may be correct to say that in the majority of instances, if we're truly going to sow something, it's going to take some work. Some effort, maybe some great effort, is going to be involved. If you found the 126th Psalm, it's very short. There are only 6 verses. Let's see what we find in verse 5. They that sow, there's our idea, they that sow in heart, in tears rather, shall reap in joy. The Old Testament writer was familiar with the principle of sowing and reaping. And he said, as people sow, they may sow in, or they may sow with tears. Well, this statement is true, is it not? As you look at some parents, is it not the case that they sometimes sow in tears? Over the years, I can think about many parents that were trying to train some children that were difficult kids to train. Some children are easy to rear, and some children are sort of in the middle, and some kids, they are just, you just feel like it's a fight every single day. There have been some children who have been reared by parents, by good parents, and the children were rebellious. And as the parents tried to sow those good seeds day after day and month after month and year after year, they sowed those seeds with tears. There have been parents that as they have gone through the childbearing years and the child rearing years, they wondered if their efforts to correct their children would ever pay off. It just seemed like they were sowing in futility. You probably talk to some parents, and I don't think this is literally true, but the parents will point to their gray hair and say, I want to show you who gave this to me. I've got a full head of gray hair because of this child or because of these two or these three children. Parents have literally shed tears. over some of the things that their children have done. They've been defiant, sometimes the kids. They've been rebellious. In some cases, they've needed to be bailed out of jail. Parents have been sometimes humiliated, and yet as they sow those seeds, they sow those seeds with pain and with tears. Well, if we are a parent, and we are still in the child-rearing and the child-bearing years, we need to remember the principle of sowing and reaping. We need to sow, to not quit, even though that may be tempting from time to time. Others sow, and as they sow, sometimes they also sow with tears. If you ever have a family member, or maybe you one day serve as an elder, you're probably going to be exposed to the fact that there are some things that brethren do in local congregations that distress elders. And as elders try to deal with some of the bad behavior sometimes from some of the sheep, as elders try to sow those good seeds in a local congregation, sometimes it's very difficult. And those elders, as they're out there trying to sow the seeds of right and righteousness, they sometimes shed some tears. When we think about sowing in tears, we think about husbands and wives, spouses. There are cases where people may have been married for a short amount of time. Maybe they've been married for several years. And maybe one spouse is not all that interested in sowing the right seed. But there's another spouse in that relationship, and that spouse wants to sow the right seed, the good seed in that marriage. As that spouse tries to sow that good seed, it seems like all their efforts are checked. Point after point, all the efforts seem to be stopped and halted. Sometimes people try to keep a marriage intact. And yet, as the person tries to sow those good seeds in their marriage, they sow those seeds with tears. I cannot say that it's true in every case, but I will say in many cases, if we're going to sow the things that are good and right, consistent with the will, it's generally going to cost us something. Sowing is usually not an activity that is free or something we can do in a short amount of time. And the price to sow the right things in this life can be high. It can be very high. Sometimes if we're going to sow the right seeds, we're going to find that we have an emotional toll taken on us. As we try to sow those right seeds, we might come to the point where we realize that some time is being taken away from something that we had planned to do. Sowing those right seeds may reduce some of our financial resources. There may be times where we try to sow those right seeds, we are left with a very sad feeling. Sometimes people will say, well, the cost to sow the right seeds or the cost to sow for this period of time, it is so high, it's just not worth it. We can understand sometimes why people would draw those conclusions because sowing can be a very difficult thing. In fact, would you believe that the Bible says as we try to sow those things that it can be so stressful, it can be so difficult that it's possible for a person to become weary? Well, this brings us to our New Testament reference. You may have already turned over here. It's the book of Galatians, chapter 6. In Galatians 6, verse 9, as Paul is talking about sowing and reaping in this chapter, he uses the word weary, specifically in the 9th verse. And as I read this verse in just a moment, look for two things. Look at or listen for the word weary, and then see what follows this word. The apostle said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The words well-doing are just another way of describing the sowing that we see introduced back in verses 7 and 8. God tells his people, you sow. You sow when it's in season. You sow when it's not in season. You sow the right seeds. You sow the best seeds that you possibly can. And you, as you go through life, this is an activity that you do not cease from. Now, there may be some times where we think about throwing up our hands and saying, I've sown for a long time. And my efforts just don't seem to be paying off. Is it really worth it? Shouldn't I stop? Isn't it time to throw in the towel? We need to remember that a payday is coming. An important payday is coming. In Galatians 6, verse 9, the Bible uses the word reap. God promises that we will sow a crop as we go through life. And we can sow a terrible crop. We can sow a limited crop. But God says you will sow a crop as you live out your life on the earth. And God says you also need to understand that one day you're going to reap what you've sown. And for the Christian, for the faithful Christian, what we reap at the end of time is going to be a very special day. God says to the righteous people that they will receive an eternal harvest, which is a bountiful return. As we think about sowing and reaping in this life, there are some things that we can sow, there are some things that we can sow which are often typically consumed. For example, we can sow work in the physical realm. And because of that work that we put in, we are perhaps either daily or weekly or maybe once a month or maybe a few times a year. Because of that work that we do, we reap. We receive a paycheck for the work that we do. It's also possible for a person to receive an inheritance. That happens sometimes. But just as the reaping that is experienced with a paycheck is typically consumed, it comes in and it goes out. Such can also be the case with an inheritance. And an inheritance may be entirely consumed. But God says for the righteous, if you will use your life to sow the right seeds, God says you will receive a harvest. And it is going to be an everlasting reward. I'm not going to read Proverbs 11, verse 18, but I do want to say quite a few things about this passage. The wisest man who ever lived, about a third of the way through the book of Proverbs, says there are some unrighteous people in the world. Well, okay, that's not news to anybody. We know that's the case. In Proverbs 11, verse 18, the wise man went on to say that some of the unsaved, some of the unrighteous people in the world are rich. Well, okay, we understand that as well. And Solomon, as he talks about this wealth in Proverbs 11, verse 18, he said, I want you to know that the wicked people, and in this case especially the wicked people that are unrighteous, he says, they may in this life receive a temporal harvest. They may enjoy their wealth, they may enjoy their riches for a moment. But in Proverbs 11, verse 18, the writer goes on to say something else. He says essentially, wealth without righteousness. You receive a wage. You do reap something from that money. But the writer says it is a deceitful wage. Well, that's important. People can reap various things in this life. But God says sometimes we can reap something that is a deceitful wage. Sometimes we find individuals, in fact, probably the majority of people in our life, they sow a harvest to the flesh. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're out doing bad things. It simply means that in their life, what really matters is getting ahead. And we have families to provide for, we have things to do, but there are people in life, their main goal, their main ambition is to get as high up the corporate ladder as they can. They will, if they're working for a particular company and they want to stay with that organization for a long time, they may have aspirations of being a VP or maybe a president. Or, and this happens certainly in this area and other parts of the U.S. As far as the world, people will get a job here. And then they want a job hop over here because it's a better opportunity. And they just continue to go up and up and up. Because in their mind, that's what counts the most. That's what truly matters. They're going to reap the best possible future. But in Proverbs 11, verse 18, he says, that kind of lifestyle, that kind of thinking, it pays a wage. But if that's the ultimate wage that we're after, it is a poor harvest. Unrighteous people, even if they have great wealth, they sow the wrong seeds in life. Because this life is not about what we get. One day we all die, we lay down everything that we've reaped as far as material wealth. The end of Proverbs 11, verse 18, though, makes this statement. It says, the person who sows something, sows what? The person who sows righteousness. Well, we've been saying tonight that if we sow, we reap. And in this particular case, the writer says, if we sow, and the seeds that we sow are righteous seeds, we obtain a reward. It's not like that deceitful reward that's tied in with earthly wealth. But the writer says we receive a sure reward, a good reward. That's something that we can depend on. God tells us in the plainest possible way that we will reap what we sow. This is one of the first lessons that we find in the book of Genesis. Seeds bring forth after their kind. If you sow a corn seed, you're not going to get asparagus. You just can't reap asparagus from a corn seed. And if we sow a carrot seed, we can't reap potatoes from that. The seed brings forth after its kind. And if we sow the wrong stuff, we're going to reap the wrong stuff. Every single day that we live, we may not be able to do a lot for God on some days. But every single day that we live, we should try to sow the seeds of a righteous life. As we look back on 2013, what kinds of seeds did we sow? How many good seeds did we try to sow throughout that year? Someone says, well, I kind of think back on that year and I failed in many ways. Well, God says we've got a new year. We've got one more chance to make things right. That person might say, well, I'm willing. New year is here and things are off to a fresh start and I'm willing to start sowing some better seeds for God. And as I think about this, I want to know where I can sow those seeds. As I look at my life, I don't know that many people and we live in a small community. Where can I start sowing some seeds for God? Well, let's look in that chapter which talks about sowing and reaping, Galatians 6. Looking now at what we find in verse 10. So then, he says, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially toward them that are of the household of faith. God says to his people in this context of sowing and reaping, if you want to sow, as you have opportunity, look for opportunities, look for occasions in your life where you can sow righteous seeds, seeds for God. As we interact with those, you know, as a preacher, this bothered me for a long time. I've conducted over the years several Bible studies at some county jails. And there have been situations on a number of occasions in jail and in other circumstances where I could not sow much of a seed for God. In fact, I could talk about some basic Bible truths, but there really was not enough time in some sessions to kind of lay the whole thing out as far as what was necessary to become a Christian and how to properly serve God according to the scriptures. Maybe I needed 10 minutes, and he only gave me 2. And that bothered me for a long time. I thought, you know, I just needed 8 more minutes to cover these things, or I needed just a little better environment. But as I grew in some areas, I came to realize that I don't necessarily have to sow the full garden. I mean, that might be nice. But there may be some occasions where, though I'd like to sow 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 seeds, God may only, on that occasion, allow me to plant 1 or 2. And if that's all that he allows me to plant on that occasion, then if I've planted that 1 or 2, I've done his will. I've been faithful. He does not necessarily require us to plant the whole back 40, if you will. But he does require us, as we have opportunity, Galatians 6, verse 10, to use those occasions. Thus, if we have an opportunity to speak up for God or stay silent for God, we need to try to sow as many seeds as we can in that opportunity. When we have an opportunity to help with a project for the cause of Christ, we step up and say, here I am. We may not be able to sow as many seeds as the other guy. We may not be able to sow as many seeds because we don't have enough time or we don't have this or that. But we can sow at least some seeds. When it comes to trying to point people to Christ, again, we may not ever convert another person. But we can at least sow as many seeds as we can. And if we've put those seeds in the ground, if we've done our best to water them, that's what God requires. In some cases, it may be that we plant a seed by giving someone a tract. In another case, and we see this a lot in the e-world, it may be that we see an article that we like, maybe a devotional article, maybe an article that someone has posted on Facebook, maybe some other social networking site, and we share that article. We forward that and say, this is something that might interest you. What have we done? Have we not sown a seed in the life of that other person? I know one lady, she's a preacher's wife. I'm not going to tell you who she is. You might be able to identify her if I give you a little more information. But I know, she doesn't share this with too many people, but I know that as she navigates through Facebook, there are, on various occasions, posts that she hits the like button for. Because she thinks by hitting that like button, that might draw somebody else's attention to that particular post. She's trying to sow a seed. Now, that seed may not go anywhere, and it might seem like an incredibly small seed, and maybe those things are true. But still, she is someone who is sensitive to the principle of sowing and reaping, and she tries to sow to the best of our ability. If we take a careful look at our world, and I'm not faulting anybody here, I'm making a general statement. But if we look at our present world, I think we all can find somewhere in the church some Christian that we know that is not hesitant to share some off-color jokes with people they know through social networking sites such as Facebook or email. And yet, if you look at the folks that are doing this, you find in at least some cases brethren who never sow any spiritual seeds with the very people that they know. Now think about how that must look in the eyes of God. Here is a person who will share some obscene material, or at least semi-obscene, if you will. But they will never, using that same technology that exists to share that bad information, they will never use that to share a seed of the gospel. Well, can that be right? It can't be right. The people who are headed for heaven try to sow the best seeds that they can for God as they have opportunity, Galatians 6, verse 10. Now someone says, well, you don't know the people that I know. If you tried to share those seeds, the seed would fall on bad ground. That very well may be true. We remember when Jesus gave the parable in Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13 about the seed, compared it to the word of God. We know that in his comparison, 4 different soils are described. And out of the four soils he described, only one was good soil. When we sow, it may be the case that a lot of the seed that we try to plant, it falls on bad soil. It falls on soil that's like that rocky ground, and it just doesn't go anywhere. But again, we're not the soil testers. We're not responsible for what happens to the seed. It's our job to open up that bag, if you will, and to spread it as broadly as it can be spread. Now, we hope, or at least we should hope, that as we take those opportunities and as we try to plant that seed, that it falls into good and honest hearts and it does the most amount of good. But you know, at the end of the day, the one question that we've got to answer, the one question that really matters is, did we seek to sow the seeds of righteousness? Did we look for those opportunities? And then did we try to get some seed in the ground and maybe water it? As we look at most congregations, we find that it's invariably the case that a local congregation needs helpers for various things. Teachers are needed in local churches. Special events that a congregation chooses to undertake need assistance. People may need a ride to services. We find cases where there are maintenance issues with church buildings. We find situations where elderly members have some special needs that need to be addressed. We find buildings that need to be cleaned, parking lots that need to be salted in the winter months. In some places, there are repeated requests for help. And each time a request goes out for assistance, if we look at it from the sowing and the reaping principle, people are saying some seeds need to be sown. Are you willing to pick up the bag? And are you willing to plant some seeds? Oh, we don't need many seeds planted today. 5 or 10 just needs 5 or 10 minutes. But will we be people who are willing to sow some seeds for God? I may have used this illustration a while back, but it's still one that sticks in my mind. Every 4th of July, I think about a little community called Reynolds, Illinois. Reynolds is a hole in the wall. It has probably 600 people in the entire community. But many years ago, Reynolds, Illinois was a place that was a big gathering place. I mean, the whole town just overflowed. 4th of July, they had a nice fireworks display. And people from several counties would descend on Reynolds, Illinois. And we'd have an ice cream social. Ice cream just oozed from about every corner of the festival. Neighbors would come from various counties, and we had a really nice time. They got some baseball games together, and it was a fun 4th of July. They no longer meet in Reynolds, Illinois. They've not met in Reynolds, Illinois for a long time. And here's the reason. There was a generation, and it pretty much stopped with my generation, I'm ashamed to say. But there were generations in the past, a generation before mine and generations before that. They were willing to sow some seeds. They were willing to set aside some time to crank the ice cream. They were willing to sow some seeds in the area of finances to make this event happen. But another generation arose. The generation that arose, they liked the fun. They liked the fireworks. They liked the ice cream. They liked the fellowship. They wanted to reap without sowing. It doesn't work. My generation, the generations that followed, said, if we're going to have to sow, we're not going to show up. We're not going to do the work. What's happened? They have shut it down. The same kind of thing can happen in the church. And in some places, I'm sad to say, it is occurring. There are some congregations right now that would not have the doors open if it were not for older members. We have some congregations that are hanging on because of senior members. The young folks that do anything are 70 plus. Well, that's good that they're willing to do that. That's good that we have some retirees that are willing to sow some seeds. But if there are not future generations that rise up and understand the principle of sowing and reaping, congregations are going to be weak, and some congregations are going to die. Our older members need to be reminded about sowing and reaping. Till we die, we need to try to sow some seeds. Now, they may not be the biggest seeds that we've ever sown in our life, and there may not, be the same number. But regardless of who we are, if we want to be a Christian, we need to be people who are involved with sowing and reaping, because a time is coming when there will be a harvest. One day, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44, that what's planted, that is our physical body. After that, there's going to be some reaping. Sowing is such an essential part of the Christian life that God says, In addition to remembering this duty, you also need to be mindful of the fact that you are preparing one day for harvest. As I think about the harvest part of this, a passage that comes to my mind is found in Luke 6, verse 38. This is a passage I think that a lot of people are aware of. It maybe is a passage that some preachers are hesitant to preach on, but it is a passage that was uttered by Jesus, and there's a promise here. Sometimes I think people get a little uncomfortable with the promise. This is kind of Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew, of course, has the longer version, and this is what we find in verse 38. Jesus said, give. Well, that's another way of saying so. Give, and the promise then is, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. Now, in this single verse, if you look carefully at Luke 6, verse 38, you find a graduation. First of all, Jesus talks about good measure. That is, you might imagine a container that's overflowing. The second part of the graduation is not only is it overflowing, but Jesus then speaks about this being pressed down. That, of course, would express the idea of now there's room for more. And then shaken together is the third description that we have, and that tells us that even more room is being made available. And then you have the Lord going on even to say that after these three things, it would be running over. In the first part of the verse, the word translated give, it's expressed with the present tense, ongoing action. So Jesus says give. As you sow, somebody says, well, I sowed some seeds for God today. That's good. But what about tomorrow and the next day if we're given life? The Lord said when it comes to God, we will reap what we sow. And our area of reaping includes every aspect of the Christian life. In fact, we could expand tonight's principle into several lessons. I'm not going to do that. But as an example, as an illustration, think about prayer. I suspect that there are some members of the church, and again, this is speaking in broad terms, not picking or thinking about anyone here. But I think there are probably some people who, as they think about prayer, they sow almost nothing when it comes to prayer. Imagine a Christian who is interested in, let's say, a new job. And they, as far as the prayer, the seeds that they sow in that prayer, they pray 30, maybe 60 seconds about their new job a few times a week. What kind of seeds have they sown in prayer? What kind of harvest should a person expect if they've sown, as far as those prayer seeds, less than 60 seconds? I'll tell you this. If a Christian says, I know that you're going to be going under surgery, Brad, going into surgery, I know that you're going to be undergoing the knife, and I'm going to be praying for you. If you are going to plant about 30 seconds of prayer in my life, I want some other people to pray for me. That's not much of a harvest, is it? And I don't know about you, but if you ask somebody to pray for you and they say, this is what I'm going to sow as far as my amount of prayer in your life, we want another farmer. Because this is important. And this same principle can be applied to every other aspect of Christian life. If you think about Luke chapter 18, remember this is a story where Jesus talks about the widow and the judge. Reread that story this week. Give consideration to the prayer seeds, if you will, that this woman planted. It wasn't one or two seeds, but this woman, she went back to the judge again and again and again and again. Her prayer garden, if you will, was visited on a regular basis. Well, if we take this information and apply it to Luke 6, verse 38, Jesus said, if you will sow the right seeds on a regular basis, give. He says, God is going to respond in kind. God has to work it that way because we reap what we sow. God's blessings in our lives may not take the form that we think or we wish. Sometimes we sow seeds in this area and we expect them to yield this kind of harvest, and it turns out it's still consistent with what we've sown. But it may turn out to be a harvest that's somewhat different than what we expect. But God's promise is if we will sow those seeds, He will bless us and He will bless us richly. But all too often as people go through life, when it comes to Christianity, we see, they may not say it, but we see the idea where a person says, well, I kind of want to try God. We're going to investigate Christianity and let's see what God's going to do for me. That's not what we find. God says when it comes to the faith in the New Testament, God says you jump in. You jump in with both feet, and you stay in the water. You start in your life sowing those righteous seeds, and God says, I will take care of you, and I will do that very, very well. Most congregations, as we look at them in this country, we find a core group. And that core group is typically not the largest segment of the group. But if we look at the scriptures, the way things should be is that there is a core group. But that core group consists of most of the folks instead of a small percentage. We have a new year before us. And again, I know that February is going to be here before too long. And in this new year, every single day, let's see if we can make the word sow the word of the year. Sow, 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 and sow. If we will do that, God says, I'll take care of you. Luke 6:38, I will take care of you in ways that you can't begin to imagine. But we've got to be committed. Tonight, are we committed? Are we willing to be a sower for God as we have opportunity? Galatians 6, verse 10. Let's think about that as we stand and sing the selected songs.